I want to talk about is we're going on again with this same Jesus. As we said, our text scripture is coming from Acts chapter number 1, 10 through 11. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Companion scriptures, Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And companion scripture relative to our theme this year is John chapter number 4:29. This is the woman at the well. "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Now, on this morning, we're going to be, as we said, with that John scripture, she says, "Told me all things that ever I did." And then with what the rich man said while he was in judgment, he said that he was told by Abraham, I should say. I shouldn't say the rich man. The rich man was told by Abraham when he was in the place of judgment. In Luke chapter number 16:25, he was told to remember that thou in thy lifetime. So Abraham was reminding the rich man that he was where he was because of the choices and the decisions that he made during his lifetime. And really, the takeaway from all of that is just to understand in our minds that nothing gets by Jesus. Nothing gets by Jesus. Jesus knows everything. He knows everything. And this morning, I'm concerned primarily with our, as humans, we develop in a personal relationship with Jesus. You hear sometimes, a lot of times people will say that, especially doing altar calls and things of that nature. I always say that's a time where the enemy, I should say, especially when he's not giving you the truth, he plays on people's emotions doing the altar call, because he knows a lot of times people are going through a lot of hard things. And that's true, but he don't give them the message that they need to get them out of it. That's the problem. That's why I say that the enemy plays on people's emotions. Now, in the church, don't play on your emotions. You know, that's not the purpose of our messages. That's not the reason why we listen to the word. The word is not given to deal with our emotions, but to deal with our soul. The real you. The word's purpose is to prepare you for eternity, to make you stop wherever you are at in life and think. And when I'm saying think, make you answer questions that you may be trying to avoid. The word make you stop and say, "Am I prepared to leave this earth?" And the facts are, you're going to leave, whether you want to or whether you don't. Every day, every second, every hour, you're closer to leaving than you were yesterday. Today is a brand new day. It's a beautiful day. If we go outside, we're going to see snow and all of the other kind of nice things. But you have to think about it. I'm one day closer to leaving the earth. Yesterday is gone. Now it's a brand new day. And I have to keep before myself, this is one day to cross off my list. Because this is one day I'm moving closer every step, every moment, I'm moving closer to leaving here. And the scriptures are constantly reminding me, are you ready? Right? That's the truth. They're reminding you, are you ready? I think we had that on the front of your bulletin. Didn't realize that. the front of your bulletin to ask you that question. Are you ready? Am I ready for what? Am I ready for my next meal? Am I ready for my doctor's appointment? No. Scripture's not concerned about any of that. The scripture is concerned about, are you ready for the judgment? Psalms chapter number 9, 6 and 7, I believe it is. The Lord endures forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He is going to judge the world in righteousness. He's going to minister judgment to the people in uprightness. So the question is, am I ready for the judgment? Am I ready for the judgment where the Lord is going to judge me by the standard of righteousness? Now, if you say, well, oh, yeah, I'm a good person. I treat people nice. You know, I go to church. I read my Bible. I sing hymns. You know, I'm a fairly decent person. People may say all of these many different things. I pray to God. I know God for myself. Well, question is, you think about what Jesus is saying. Jesus is telling you and I the same thing. First of all, he lets us know we got a problem from birth because we are born in the shape, in the state, or the condition of sin. And because of sin, because of Adam's disobedience, I don't care who you are, man, woman, black, white, when you come into this world, you come in here infected by sin. Sin just don't fall off of you. Just because you come into the church, just because you open up your Bible, just because you help somebody that's in need, that does not erase sin. Jesus specifically says his name is given for the remission or for the removal of sin. This is why you say, well, Elder Scudder, what's wrong with all the other churches? I'm not really concerned about a name on a church. I'm not concerned about a denomination. I'm not concerned about all of those other kind of things. I'm concerned with, have you used the name of Jesus to deal with your sin? And the only way that that can be done is you've got to follow the formula. You've got to follow the plan that was laid out by Jesus. Jesus told Nicodemus that except or unless a man is born of both water and spirit, he cannot see, nor can he enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus gives Peter the understanding of what water and spirit is. Because Peter's message, when the church began on the day of Pentecost, Peter's message to the people that said, they asked the question, how can we fix this mistake? How can we fix the error of our way? Peter tells them to do what? Repent. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. Why, Peter? For the remission of sins. You just can't go down in the water any kind of way. You just can't go down in the water the way you feel like it or the way you think it should be done. No, you've got to do it specifically the way Jesus tells you to do it. Why? Because that's the only way that removes sin from the soul, right? That's the truth. And then he also tells them, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the spirit portion. And Jesus tells us how to receive that spirit portion. He says, but you shall be endued with power from on high. The Holy Ghost comes from on high. But he tells them to go and tarry or go and wait in the city of Jerusalem until. So, Elder Scuttle, I'm not in Israel. I'm not in Jerusalem. It still doesn't remove the requirement. It still doesn't remove the instruction. So when I'm talking about I want the Holy Ghost, the Lord is telling me you need to be in a waiting mode. And anything you know about humans, we don't like to wait. We don't like the concept of being patient. But Jesus tells us you have to wait until you are endued with power from on high. No man can go up and touch you. Nobody can go and rub you. Nobody can push you in the floor. Nobody can throw a blanket or a handkerchief over you. You have to wait until you are endued with power from on high. Well, what should I do while I'm waiting? Should I sit in my chair and be quiet? Should I sit there and read my Bible? Should I sit there and meditate? No. Jesus tells you if you want something from him, you've got to call on him. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved, meaning they shall be delivered. That means while I am waiting, I should be occupying my mind and I should be occupying my time calling on the name of Jesus. There is no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus says anything you want out of heaven, you've got to ask in his name, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. That's why I told you all, I was concerned. You know, I'm concerned when people say they go to church. They say, oh, I go to church. My church, we do this, we do that. But then when it get down to a person receiving the Holy Ghost, they say, oh, no, we don't do that anymore. What do you mean you don't do that anymore? You're not encouraging the people to wait. You're not encouraging the people to tarry, especially when Jesus told you to do that. Jesus told you to wait until you be endued with power from on high. When you look at the upper room and what they were doing in the upper room, they weren't in there listening to sermons. They weren't in there in seminars. They weren't in there running around shouting to fast music. According to the scripture, they were in there in prayer and supplication, meaning prayer is the act of communicating, talking, meaning I'm communicating with Jesus. They were in prayer, and supplication means they were begging. There's a deep cry like a groan down on the inside. Or you say, well, why were they in prayer? Why were they in supplication? Because they wanted what Jesus had promised them. He had promised them a gift that came from on high, and he told them how to get that gift. He said, you've got to wait until you are endued. Huh? Yeah, that's the truth. In other words, what you're waiting on comes on you. That's the truth. That's why I love when the scripture describes the day of Pentecost. It says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord. What do you mean in one place? They weren't scattered all over the place. They weren't in your house and I'm in my house and that. No, they got together. Because the scripture says, you who are gathered together and have escaped from the nations. In other words, escaped from sinners. People that don't have a mind to be saved. He said, assemble yourselves together and come, right? That's what they were doing. They were in that upper room waiting. They were in that upper room in prayer and in supplication. Not just, it wasn't a gender-driven wait. It wasn't something the way they said, oh, this is a man thing, and the women got to stay home and wait with the children. No, 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 no. You go over to the book of Acts really quick. Acts chapter number 1, and if you start at verse number 14, verse number 14, Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 14. What does it say there? I know. These all continue. That word continue means it was they did it today, they did it the next day. Continue. Your clock continues, right? You know when your clock's battery has died, because that means that minute hand stops. Well, Jesus is telling you in your waiting, don't lose power. Don't lose the ability to keep moving. Your waiting has got to be like that minute hand on the clock. It's got to continue, meaning it's got to be progressive. It can't be stagnant. It's got to go from one moment to the next moment. According to Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 14, scripture says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and in what? Supplication. In other words, when they left Jesus, this was 40 days after his death. After his Passover, Jesus stayed on the earth 40 days teaching to them the things pertaining to the kingdom. And the last thing that he told them before he left the earth is that John verily baptized you with water. Right? That's what he said in chapter number 1 and around about verse number 4. It says them being assembled. Huh? Even before Jesus left the earth, he required, he encouraged those that followed behind him to assemble themselves together. Huh? Come on, saints. Does everybody understand this? I know people say, oh no, Elder Scudder, I can pray at home. I don't have to come to church whenever you have church. It's not me having church. Don't you forget, you're coming here to get into a connection with Jesus. Jesus has blessed you to be somewhere where someone is concerned about you connecting with Jesus. Come on, saints. You could be somewhere where they only have service once a week. You could be somewhere where they only tell you to come to church once a week. The Lord has blessed you to be in a place that puts your soul first. Huh? Whether you have a dime in your pocket, whether you wear the same clothes every time, we are concerned about your soul. Yes, I know you have things to do. Yes, I know you're tired. But that does not take away the responsibility for you to assemble yourself with the saints. Jesus told you to do this. Jesus says, do not neglect. Meaning, don't disregard. Don't put it off. Don't count it as not valuable. Don't count it as not important. Do not neglect the assembly. Meaning you got to get out from where you are and get where the saints are. Assemble together with the saints, right? Does that make sense? Come on, that's not my word. That's the word of Jesus. Look at Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 4. Oh, hold up. Now, this is Jesus. Uh-huh. Now, if Jesus got with the saints, what do you think you're going to do? You must be better than Jesus. You must got more power than Jesus got. Huh? Here, Jesus done got up out the grave. Here, Jesus done overcame death. Jesus done moved that stone from in front of his tomb. Got up. He said, all power is in my hand. But yet, he shows you the importance of you gathering together with the saints, right? You must assemble yourself, right? Come on. It's not optional. You've got to do this. If Jesus requires it, you've got to do it, right? That's true. Now, what if some of the disciples said, Elder Scott, I got a headache. Ooh. Elder Scott, I got something I got to do. Yes. Oh, you would have missed this. Uh-huh. Oh, yes, you would have missed this. Yes. You would have missed the opportunity to be gathered together with Jesus. Did Jesus stop the gathering because someone was sick? Oh, no, no, no. Did Jesus stop the gathering because somebody died or somebody was in the hospital or because somebody didn't have enough money? No, no, no. He still said, come together. And you had to make it your business to get where Jesus was. Come on, saints. You and I have got to make it our business to get where Jesus is. No matter the cost. No matter the sacrifice. Why? Because I need to personally know Jesus. And the only way I can personally know him, I've got to be where he is, right? I got to be where Jesus is. Scripture done told you. What is that? Acts 1 and 4? What does it say there? Start over again. And being assembled. Isn't that an important thing? I think that's very important. I think that is noteworthy. I think that is something for us as a righteous to really put a pin on. To make sure that we don't let the devil fool our minds. To think that we can just disregard the commandment of Jesus to be gathered together with the saints. This is not something to do when it's convenient. This is not something to do if you feel like it. This is not something to do when your body is in agreement with it. You need to gather wherever Jesus is because you don't know what Jesus is going to do when you get there. say. In this particular instance, this was the last time Jesus was physically with the disciples. Now imagine if you let a headache keep you home. Imagine if you let somebody that you love hold you back. You would have missed Jesus, right? You would have missed the Lord that day. And guess what you would have missed? You would have missed Jesus, and you would have missed the commandment. And not only the commandment, you would have missed something that was important to establish your faith. What do you mean, Elder Scudder? These brothers that were gathered together saw Jesus go up. Come on. Now, it would have been so much better to be there than to hear somebody else tell you about it. Everybody afterwards had to hear somebody else tell them about it. But imagine if you had the opportunity to be there and actually see Jesus go up. Nothing in this world matters. Nothing in this world matters. Why? Because I could just see the Lord going up. And when he goes up, he says, I'm coming back again, right? He would have built up your faith, right? No matter what you go through, no matter what you go through, if I would have just saw the Lord go up and then somebody come and tell me he's coming back again, right? That's enough to die for. That's enough to die for, isn't it? But see how the enemy try to keep you from missing the blessing. Can you imagine there may have been some that walked with the Lord those 40 days, but they let the devil on day 40 keep them from going. Keep them from being at that point. Come on, saints, it's important. You say, Elder Scudder, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, it's important. It's got to be priority number one for you to be what? Assembled. Come on, you can't get this over the phone. You need to be what? Assembled. Just like you are in here, what are we? We are assembled. And we're here waiting. Because we just don't know what the Lord is going to do. But I know I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want the Lord to come by here and sweep. And I miss his blessing, right? That's true. So the Lord moving on our brother this morning. Lord wouldn't have moved on you in the hospital like that. He wouldn't have moved on you on the side of the bed like that. He wouldn't have moved on you on your job like that. You had to be what? Gathered together. I'm not telling you not going to feel the Lord out there. But it's something a little different when you can assemble around the saints. Let the Lord move on him while he's at the grocery store like that. They're going to call the police. They're going to call the fire department. They're going to say something's wrong with this brother. He's having a seizure. Something wrong with his mind. He's acting cuckoo. But when you get around the saints, those that know the power of the name of Jesus, these are not drunk like ye suppose, right? But this is that which was promised of the Lord, right? In the last day, Jesus said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, right? Holy Ghost. And when we come in here to receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, we do. I'm waiting. Oh, yes, I am. You say, Elder Scudder, you got the Holy Ghost. But I'm still waiting. I need strength. Come on, saints. I need strength. Strength that can't be found in a prescription. Strength that can't be found with a friend or a family member. I need strength from on high. I need divine power. Power from on high. Power that only Jesus can give me, right? He's the source. And he don't share that ability with nobody. He don't say, I'm going to give it to you, Stephen, for you to give it to Sister Jackie. No. He tells Sister Jackie, you need to personally know Jesus for yourself. Come on. I can go up there and touch brother While the Lord was moving on him, all I want
is
to go and touch him and go rub him and go rub up against him. Ain't nothing going to happen. Because that thing got to be in you. The Holy Ghost got to be in you. I move because Christ is in me. Come on, he's walking up and down in me, right? He's walking up and down in me. This is the power from on high, right? This is the power from on high, saints. This is why we encourage you to wait. Don't accept counterfeit. Don't accept counterfeit. Don't be overcome in your emotions. But really get the Holy Ghost down on the inside of you. Because you're going to need him. You're going to need the Jesus. You're going to need that resurrecting power to get you up in the last day, right?
Yes, that's right.
That's the truth. You're going to need that resurrecting power to get you up in the last day. Come on, because death is going to try to hold you back. Oh, yes, it is. If you dead and death, they're going to bury you. They're going to bury you 6 feet down in the dirt. You're going to need some power to get up out of there. They're going to put a great big old cement stone over your body. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're going to need some power to get up from that. What kind of power? You're going to need Holy Ghost power. That same power that moved that stone away from the grave of Jesus. You're going to need that same power in the last day, right? Get your body up, right? You don't need that same power to get your body up. Else you will stay dead right where you are, right? Thank you, Jesus. You don't want to stay dead. You know loved ones. And I'm trying to tell you, I'm going to wake you up out of sleep. If they have no Jesus, they're going to stay right there. Why? Because they ain't got no power. That's why you can't worry about nobody but yourself. That's why the scripture says, save who? Yourself. Save who? Yourself. Why? Because you got to get up, right? Mother don't want to get up. Father don't want to get up. Sister, brother don't want to get up. I want to get up. I want to get up in a rapture. I want to get up in that first resurrection. I don't want to miss Jesus. I love gathering with the saints. Y'all understand this? This is not a hard thing for me to do. No. I don't want you to get it twisted. I don't want you to think, God, that I struggle coming to be with you. Oh, no. I love being with the saints. If I struggle with anything, it's going to work every day. If I struggle with anything, it's going to doctor's appointments, going to the grocery store. I struggle with those kinds of things. But when it comes time for me to come to church, I can't let nothing get between me and my Savior. Why? Because he personally saved my soul. He personally brought me up out of a horrible pit. Set my feet on a solid rock. He did that for me personally, right? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And I don't want the Lord to ever think that I struggle to be with him. I'm so glad. Oh, yes, I am, saints. I'm so glad to be gathered together with the righteous. Oh, yes, saints. I'm glad to be right here. Why? Because I know where the righteous are. Jesus is right in our midst. Oh, come on, saints. That's why I try my best to keep the saints down in Baltimore encouraged. Why? Because it may be only two that got a mind and want to serve the Lord. But I'm trying to let them know and let me know in my mind, as long as I go where the saints are, Jesus will be in my midst. He said, well, there's two or three gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst. Just be there with somebody that got a mind to want to serve the Lord, right? And you can count it as a sure thing that Jesus will be right there with you. And the beautiful thing is, when he comes, he won't let you go home. If you let your mind get on Jesus, he will not let you go home the way you came in the door. The Lord will lift you up. He will lift your mind up. He will encourage your heart. What? He will encourage your heart. He will develop a personal connection. You know how the bat phone was? The bat phone, the commissioner, had a direct connection with Batman. And Batman knew when that red phone lit up, it wasn't his mama, it wasn't his daddy, but it was the commissioner. Because he had a direct line. Saints, you get the Holy Ghost, you got a direct line. I just ain't got to pick up no phone. I ain't got to pick up no device. I just got to use the tool that the Lord gave me. He gave me my voice. And he already told me, whosoever shall do what? Oh, I'm so glad. I don't live beneath that privilege. I say, Lord, I want to be the whosoever. When I call on your name, Jesus, I want you to answer me, right? That's right. I called on him. I called on him, and I found out he will answer you. He will answer you. He won't leave you there calling him long. You really get focused. You really concentrate on Jesus. He won't leave you there long. He'll let you know, I'm right here. One writer said he's just a stone throw away. And the Lord ain't telling you to pick up no rock. He's telling you to pick up the strength of your voice. He is just a stone throw away. All you gotta do is just use your voice as an instrument, right? To get in contact with Jesus, right? That's the truth. Then we're together with the saints. Come on. I ain't tend to go there and stay. But it's worth it. It's worth it. See, this devil done crept into the earth. Oh, yes, he has. He's trying to use a judgment for sinners. Come on, y'all understand this? COVID is a judgment for sinners. It's not a judgment for the saints. It's a judgment for the sinners. It's a judgment for those that reject Jesus. Say, Elder Scuttle, what if a saint gets it? That don't mean they're a sinner. They in a sinner body. You in this sin-filled body. You've got to deal with this thing until Jesus delivers you, right? But I dare not say because I got it, I'm a sinner. God, just because you get cancer don't mean you're a sinner. Just because you have a heart attack don't mean you're a sinner. That happened because you are in this sinful body. This sinful body is open. It's like an open window. Whatever disease, whatever famine, whatever sickness is in the air. Because you are in a sinful body. Every now and then you pick stuff up. But don't forget, you got a connection with Jesus. You know the power of prayer. You're not left like that sinner. I can get on my knees and call Jesus, and he will help me through this, right? Jesus told me, there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Meaning, I go through just like the sinner go through. But the difference between me and that sinner, Jesus faithful. Y'all understand that? Come on, Jesus is faithful. Come on, brother. That's the truth. You've been praying for the Lord to open up that door ever since I've known you. Ever since you didn't even have the Holy Ghost. You were asking for the Lord to open up that door. And the Lord said, just be patient. Let patience have her perfect work. He don't ignore your prayers. He don't disregard your heart's desires. But in due time, right? Y'all understand that? When the time is right, right?
with it. But your prayer was answered years ago. That's the God we serve. Y'all understand that? He's personal. Y'all understand that? Same with you, sis. You don't you forget? Years ago, you asked the Lord to position you in a situation where you could call a shot. Lord, don't move all them folk out the way. Huh? Brought the company down to nothing. Now, Lord, say, now you all got to do is just lean on me. Let me give you an idea. I done laid everything in your lap, right? I done laid everything in your lap. You got property. Huh? You got board members that got 1 foot in the grave. Huh? All you got is the sky before you. Who could do a thing like that? After you had to go through meeting after meeting where people try to disqualify you. Since I had one supervisor told her to go do something that they teach you to do when you first get into college. Trying to insult her intelligence. Tell her, go draw a T chart and go see how this stuff comes together. Just being ignorant. Just trying to belittle her. But look what the Lord said. Just be patient. Just be patient. Lord, just drop them off like flies. Move out the way. Move out the way. Move out the way. Till at the end of the day, only one left is you. Huh? Who can do something like that? Nobody but Jesus. All you got to do is just be patient. And let patience have her work perfect. Is that the truth? I'm just trying to help you to understand something, saints. The value of being assembled with the saints. Now, I guarantee you, if you were just any other kind of place, you would have gave up a long time ago. You'd have been trying to make things happen in a crooked way, and things wouldn't have worked out. Why? Because you wouldn't have been ready for it. The Lord know how to give you stuff when you're ready. When you are ready for it. You just got to learn how to just be what? Patient. And let the Lord just shape you and mold you into what He wants you to be, right? You think about that thing, brother. If you would have had that job in your infant days when you were just trying to become a saint and you would have been around them old knuckleheads, and everybody else, somebody would have drawn you away and gotten you into something that you wouldn't have been able to get yourself out of. And then you would have messed your whole life up. Messed your whole life up. But what has the Lord taught you now? Temperance. Temperance is self-control. You let them folk that be all that, you just let them go right on. He had a test of the Lord just put him on the test. See if he was going to be able to take it. When he first got that job, didn't he? Fella come up to you and say, such and such and such, you gave him my hour, da da da. Lord, just say, Deke, just say, let him do that. Now, just imagine if he was in his infant days. Huh? Somebody come up to him boasting. That thing inside of him would have raised up. Said, man, we could take this outside, brother. As one person, ain't nothing between us but air. But the Lord had to bring that beast. I call it a beast because that's what it is. Paul said it's a no good thing. He had to bring that beast under subjection, right? To where it's no more I, but it's the Christ that liveth in me. Isn't that the truth? I gotta let Jesus live where in me. Gotta let him talk. Gotta let the Lord respond. I gotta let Jesus live in. That's the Holy Ghost, saint. Holy Ghost just ain't in here for you to shout. It's to help you to live right, right? Your Holy Ghost ain't helping you live right. It ain't no good. Holy Ghost should be helping you live this thing called life. So as your body changes, you realize Jesus don't change. Same power I had when my bones is moving good, it's still working. It's still working. It's still moving. It's still real. Huh? Holy Ghost is real, say. Holy Ghost is real. It's not something made up. It's real.
Is
that the mention of his name?
Jesus.
Just when you think on his goodness shown to you,
yes.
Lord quickens your mortal body.
Oh,
let you know he is down there.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
It's not, I don't have an empty bucket.
No.
It's something down there.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Something down there called life.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
That's the truth.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that thing that's that,
yes.
That one, I don't even want to call Jesus a thing. That one. That is down in me, loves to be gathered together with other people that have moved themselves out the way, and they got Jesus down in them too. Huh? Oh yes,
yeah,
saints. I love to be with the saints. That's why Jesus said when he was gathered together. Huh? Y'all see that in 1 and 4? What did it say? He commanded them that they should don't leave the church, saints. Jerusalem to us is the church. Don't leave the church. I don't care who does what to you. I don't care who says what to you. I don't care how your brother or your sister treats you. Don't you leave the church, right? Don't you leave the church. When you leave the church, you're leaving Jesus. Jesus said, I am the church. I am the church. And when you leave Jesus, you leave the church. Don't leave the church. Don't leave the place of your birth. Amen. I'll discover. This is where I found Jesus. Huh? This is where I got in connection with Jesus. This is where I came to know him in the power of his resurrection. Huh? This is where I came into fellowship with his suffering. Huh? Why? Because I suffer for righteousness' sake. Oh, yes, I do. In the church, I suffer for righteousness' sake, right? Oh, yeah. I've had brothers turn on me. I suffer for righteousness' sake. Huh? Now, I ain't no different than Paul. Paul said the same thing. One time Paul said I was in jail and everybody withdrew themselves from me. And I had nobody to stand with me. He said, but nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. Okay, are you there? Every now and then, saints, it gets like that. Every now and then, you need to know the Lord got you right there. He's right there with you, right? Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. I'm not going to be there all the time for my wife. Huh? Every now and then, she going to need more than a hug. She going to need more than a kiss. Huh? She going to need more than a gift. Huh? I ain't going to be able to give her nothing to get her out of that. I'm not going to be able to hug her out of that. She needs some Jesus. Y'all understand that? She told y'all that this morning. She needed some Jesus. She didn't need Elder Scudder. I wasn't neglecting her as a husband. There's only certain things I can do. Jesus is your all in all, right? He's your satisfier. I can't satisfy you, but Jesus is your satisfier. I can only go but so much. I can only go but so far. But Jesus is the one that satisfies your soul. Y'all understand that? I can take care of the body. But the Lord told her, don't fear the one that can take care of that body. You better respect the one that can destroy both body and soul. So that let her know Jesus is more important than me. In her life, Jesus got to be more important than me. Y'all understand that? Yeah, that don't even sound. Yes, it do sound right. I don't walk up and down inside of her. Holy Ghost do that. Huh? I couldn't do it if I tried. I'm bigger than she is. She would bust. Huh? Oh yeah, I'm way more than her. I got more body mass than her. Huh? She needs someone that can occupy everything and not destroy her. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Jesus can occupy every area of your life and not destroy you. Huh? That's a powerful God, isn't it? You want to be wherever he say be at. Huh? Is that what the scripture say? He said he gave you the command that you should not depart from Jerusalem.
Wait for the promise.
Oh, come on. Don't you think the Lord, you got a mind to wait, saints?
Yes.
I thank the Lord we got a mind to wait.
Yes.
Got a mind to wait for what? Wait for Jesus.
Yes.
What are you coming into church for? I'm coming in here to wait for the Lord, saints.
Yes.
That's all we're here for. We don't know when the Lord going to show up. But I am commanded.
Yes.
This is not an option. Everybody see that?
Yes.
This is not if you feel like doing it.
Uh-huh. Yep.
This is a commandment.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
You need to stay in the church and do what? Wait
for
the promise. Jesus is a promise keeper.
Yes,
he does not lie.
Right.
Whatever he has promised, he is going to do it. And it's just up to you just to do what? Wait. Tell God, I've been waiting a long. Ain't got nothing to do with how long you've been waiting.
Yeah.
You need to do what? Stay right there until Jesus comes, right?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Come on. What am I waiting on, Jesus? Go on down to verse number 5.
Verse 5 says, but John truly baptized with water.
Oh, yes.
But he shall be baptized.
Come on. Think about that thing. Lord says, you're going to be baptized
right.
with the what?
Holy Ghost.
Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yes.
That means when the Holy Ghost comes into me, it's going to be almost like my baptism.
Yes.
How was your baptism, Elder Scudder? When I went down in that water, I stopped breathing.
Uh-huh.
Y'all understand that?
Yeah.
In other words, I lost control.
Right,
yeah. Because you don't go in that water still breathing.
Right, right.
You got to stop breathing.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
I'm out of control.
Right.
It was a fast moment.
Right.
The Lord took you down and brought you back up. But at that moment, you were out of control.
Right.
You had to stop everything.
Yeah.
You were up under the control of whoever was baptizing
right.
you.
Yeah.
Huh? You were depending on them to bring you back up.
Right.
Huh? And not hold you down in that water.
Right,
because they had the dominant role.
Right.
They could have got over top of you and kept you down in that water.
Right.
And wasn't nothing you could do about it, right?
Right. That's right.
So what is the Lord saying? You need to trust him.
Yes.
That same kind of way.
Right.
When you get down on your knees,
yes.
you need to get out of yourself.
Right.
And just say, Lord, whatever you feel like doing, Jesus, whatever you feel like doing, just have your way. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost, right? In other words, wherever I look, when you up under that water, you look to the left, it's water. You look up, it's water. You look to the right, it's water. All in your ears. Water. All in your nose. Water. All on your body. You need the Holy Ghost to do what? Baptize you, right? You need to look to the left and see Jesus. You need to look to the right and see Jesus. You need to look up and see Jesus. All on your body. You need to feel Jesus, right? Y'all Sunday school lesson said it this way. Be sensitive.
Yes.
Be sensitive to the movement of Jesus, right?
Yes.
The Lord said, I will work.
Right.
But who's going to let me, right?
Right?
The Lord will work.
Yes, he will.
But who's going to have a mind to get out of the way?
Jesus.
I mean, just get out the way. Not, you ain't got to get out of the way your whole life.
Right.
Just get out the way just for that moment. For the Lord to do what? Just take control.
Yeah.
I guarantee when you get out the way that one moment, you'll stay out the way for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
The Lord get hold of you good enough,
right.
you gladly move out the way.
Right.
You, oh yeah, you humble yourself real quick.
Right.
When you feel that power move in you, like a rushing mighty wind, it lets you know you are nothing, right?
That's right.
You talking about somebody knock the wind out of you. Holy Ghost get in you, get the moving. You don't even know how to stop it. You are out of control. I mean, you are out of control. And after he get finished, you realize the Lord didn't kill me.
No.
He didn't let me have no heart attack.
No.
He didn't let me have no stroke. And he did all that to let me know he's powerful. Because if he can take control of your body and you have no control of it? Just imagine what he could do if he pour his wrath on you.
That's right.
Mess around, you'd be on the edge of a building and he'll knock you right off of it. You won't even know how you got off. You be driving a car, he'll deaden your foot. He won't give your foot no strength. When you try to lift it up off that gas, he won't give your foot no strength. Isn't that something? He'll doze you right on off. You're black right on out. Huh? That's the power. But the Lord don't let that happen to us. Because we are not ignorant of his power. Huh? Oh yeah. We respect Jesus. We know he is a mighty God. If he calls Nebuchadnezzar to eat grass like a cow, huh? Made that man lose his mind. I know you can't play with the Lord.
All right.
So you need the Lord to do what? Baptize you.
Yes.
Is that what the scripture says? With the Holy Ghost when? Not many days. That's why I tell you, wait. Just stay on there. Just stay on there. I don't care how long it is. Just stay right there. You're going to get what you're waiting for. The minute you move yourself out the way to the point that it satisfies Jesus. You say, well, Scott, I'm moving myself. Well, it's not satisfying him.
Right.
He knows you better than anybody else.
Right.
Lord know me better than anybody.
Yes.
Lord know me better than my wife, my children. Anybody say, my wife knows me better than my mom and my daddy. She does. She knows me better than anybody else in this earth. But there's someone that knows more than she knows about me.
Right.
And that's the Lord Jesus.
Right.
Her knowledge of me is only limited.
Right.
She only knows what I share with her.
Right.
There's some secret stuff. You say, you keeping secrets on your wife? It's in my mind.
Right.
I don't utter every thought that I have. Why? Because I ain't no fool. The fool utters every thought. Did y'all know that?
Yes.
The fool utters every thought. But I'm not no fool. I know when to keep my mouth quiet. Yes, I know when to keep my mouth quiet. I know how to keep peace. She know how to keep peace. She don't utter every thought that come across her mind. Some of them thoughts may cause conflict. Oh yeah. You know, she see me do something, she may be in her mind saying, you stupid dummy. But she keep it to herself. And you just look at him and go,
Yeah.
See, the fool utters everything. That's why they get themselves in a bunch of mess.
Right. Yes.
But those that got wisdom, they keep it to themselves.
Right.
Say, what? You going to say something? No. Are you all right? Well, you say, zip it. Thank the Lord for the mind to want to zip it.
Yes.
Everybody don't have that mind to zip it. That's why they walk around with fat lips. And black eyes. Huh? And some of them are dead. Because they don't know how to keep their mouth shut. Does that make sense? I just didn't intend to go that way. But I'm just trying to tell you, the Holy Ghost will give you some wisdom, saints. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to assemble yourselves together with the saints. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 14, I believe you all were at. It says, and these being assembled together with one accord in prayer. What were they doing, saints? And what did the Lord call his church? A house of what? Prayer. He said, you made it a house of merchandise and a den of thieves. But the Lord said, my house should be called a what?
House of prayer.
Read a little bit more. These all continue.
With one accord in prayer and supplication.
With who?
The women.
This wasn't a sexual thing, right?
No.
This wasn't a man thing or a woman thing.
No.
Everybody had to do this.
Yeah.
That's why when the Holy Ghost came in, he broke down them gender walls.
Yes.
He said, there's neither male nor female.
Yes.
Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free.
Right.
He broke down that wall of partition.
Yes. Right.
Sometimes you go into folks' churches, they still doing that. Separating.
Yeah.
Men sit on one side and the women sit on. Now, what kind of mess is that?
Right.
What kind of Holy Ghost you got that going to keep you dividing the brethren? Holy Ghost looked like it fell when the brothers and the sisters were what? Together. They were gathered together in what? One place. As Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 1. It didn't say men were in one room and women were in another room.
Nope.
They were gathered together in what?
One place.
Yeah. And suddenly.
Suddenly.
Isn't that what we're looking for?
Yes.
How about I tell you, when we come in here for prayer, when you come in here for service, period.
Yes.
Put your mind on the Lord.
Right.
Don't let the enemy make your mind wander. Put your mind on the Lord. I know sometimes we get our mind distracted. Get it back on track.
Right.
Say, ask the Lord, Jesus, help me to get my mind on track.
Yeah.
Why? Because I want to be on one accord with the saints.
Right.
I don't want to be the loose link.
Right.
You know that lady said, you are the weakest link. You don't want to be that weak link.
Right.
I want to be one that helps.
Right.
Not hinders.
Yeah.
That helps, right?
Yeah.
That's right, saints. I want to be one that helps the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on in. Do you know how, the ushers? What the ushers do? They usher you into the building.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? I want to usher the presence of the Lord in.
Right.
In other words, I want to be one that helps his presence come in.
Right.
When you see folk not praising the Lord, encourage them.
Yes.
Sister's got to do it. She look over and she say, you all right? Oh, that's right. She's encouraging you. Put your mind on the Lord. Don't miss your blessing.
Right.
You miss your blessing when you do that.
Yeah.
Say, I'm going to sit like a spectator, like you watching a football game.
Oh, man.
So you can critique.
Yeah.
What about you?
Right.
Huh? You got hands, don't you? Use them things, right?
Yes.
Lord said, clap your hands, all ye saints, right?
Yes.
You got your voice? You hoarse? You ain't got no voice? No, I got a voice, I can talk. Sing loud.
Right.
Make a joyful noise.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Lord ain't did nothing for you. He didn't wake you up this morning?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did. Well, make known his deeds among the people.
Right.
Testify, right?
Right.
The song say, I believe I testify while I have a chance. Why? Because I may not have a chance. Huh? What if the Lord kill you this evening? You going to be able to tell of his goodness tomorrow? You dead. You in the judgment. That's right, sister. Ain't no reversing and ain't no coming back. You are there. Right? Something to think about, saints. I ain't get into my thought today, but it was good enough.
Yeah.
Lord knew what we needed to hear.
Yeah.
Don't let nobody make you stay away from the church.
Right.
I don't care who it is and what's going on in your life.
Right.
You need to assemble with the saints.
Right.
Elder Scudder didn't say it. Don't get that in your mind. Say, Elder Scudder, I'm trying to tell you, I didn't say it. I didn't say it. It's in your book. You read it for yourself.
Yes.
The Lord was assembled.
Yes.
Now you gonna do you? You mean to tell me you more spiritual than Jesus?
No.
If anybody could have just sat on the sideline, it should have been Jesus. But he thought it worthy to be assembled.
Yes.
Is that what y'all read it for yourselves?
Yes.
In 1 and 4, he was assembled.
Yep.
So if he did it, what about you?
Right. That's right.
You so spiritual. Well, I'm going to just pray at home. I pray at home and I read my Bible. I talk to the Lord. Well, all of that praying and all that talking should have got your feet up and got here quick.
Exactly.
All that spiritual, you should have been the first one in here.
Yes.
Look like to me, you should have floated the service.
Right.
As spiritual as you are, who needs the van? You should have beat us here, right? A cloud should have dropped you on, right? You so spiritual. Huh?
Yes.
You don't even walk in the service. You float. Right? I ain't seen nobody do that yet.
Right.
So then let me know you ain't as spiritual as you think you are.
Right.
Like to me, you need Jesus just as much as I do. Right?
No more.
You need, that's right. You need just as much as I do. Say, church, you got something out the word. I'll just cut it. Not going to hold you up any longer.